I'm certain you will forgive me for that. For the time being, from myself, until next week, I think next week we start off with the Hajj broadcast. Be sure to stay with us at CII. For the time being, it's fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is CII, the world's first global Islamic media.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Friday edition of the French Connection. Of course, my name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Great to have you here with me for this most important broadcast. Today's date is the 28th day of November 2008, and it promises to be a great show today. We've got somebody from the Somerville Project on today, somebody who has looked into the facts regarding the Palestinian issues and come to the conclusion that unless we effectively marginalize Israel for its actions in Palestine, and start spreading that movement of boycott and not using the products and services that originate in that community, then we are not going to have the leverage that we need. I think that is only one of the things we need to do to stop this Zionist crime wave worldwide, but certainly it is an important element to it. And the success he's had in a couple of communities in Massachusetts have been remarkable. His name's Ron Francis. He works with a group, a very loose-fitting, dedicated group of grassroots researchers and people who look into the facts, who get out on the street corners and hand out posters and get people to sign lists, get on the voting rolls and put these things into initiative and then vote on them. And in the community of Somerville, Massachusetts, and Cambridge, Massachusetts, they have passed laws that forbid the governments there from investing in bonds and different investments. I'll let him do the detail work on that area, but I want to bring him up right now. His name is Ron Francis. Ron, are you with me?
I'm right here, Daryl. Thank you for that introduction.
Well, you know, Ron, I saw your work. I saw what you've been doing, and I admired the fact that you were successful, especially in a city like the Boston area that is very heavily controlled by some powerful interests from the Zionist camp. And you must have had a lot of resistance. You want to give us a little thumbnail sketch of your organization and some of the goals and some of the work you've done?
Be glad to. Well, we're here in the United States and Massachusetts, and I know your listeners are from around the world, so I just want to try to just set a little bit of context for people. In the United States, there's a large amount of control of the ideas that people are allowed to think about, through the mainstream media, both television and even internet to some extent. And so what you have in this country is a population that really thinks about the Jewish state enterprise as something which is acceptable. So to raise a question about whether or not it's an idea that is valid, the idea of a religious state, a state that discriminates against its own population based on religion, is something which is hard to do in the United States. My feeling is that it's probably easier to do things like this in other countries around the world, but certainly in the United States, the control by elites and other people that benefit from the ongoing Jewish state enterprise makes it difficult to even raise the question. So now we come to the area around Boston, Massachusetts. You know, Boston's one of the major cities in the United States with a lot of very famous universities such as Harvard and MIT in the area. And next to Boston, you have some cities which are fairly large, about 100,000 people in both Somerville and Cambridge. And what we did is we decided that people in these communities needed to get a chance to vote on the simple question of, do they think the idea of a religious state, a Jewish state, that clearly discriminates against its non-Jewish citizens, is a valid idea? Is that something that the people in the United States can support? And so we drafted such a ballot question so that people could vote directly on it, because we wanted to bypass all of the elected officials, and we know where they stand because we know who controls them.
But I want you to tell us in a little while, Ron, I want you to tell us in a little while where they stand and what they tried to do to stop you.
Go ahead with your question. I want to get to that, but I also want to emphasize what the people said. I think what's interesting is that the people of the United States got to speak on this issue, not the president, the local congressman who refused to listen to us, not the mayor who takes trips to Israel on a regular basis and gets propagandized by the Zionist forces, not the local elected politicians who can't belong part of the Democratic Party if they take a position opposing Zionist racism. So I don't want to spend time on those people. What I want to spend time on is what the people in Somerville and Cambridge did. These are cities of about 100,000 people, and we put the question on the ballot saying, do you support the idea of a religious state that discriminates against its non-Jewish citizens? And particularly, we said Palestinian citizens right there in the ballot question. And here's what happened. We put that question on the ballot. Of course, the Jewish state side, the pro-apartheid side, they immediately tried to block the ballot question. And here's what they said. It's actually kind of interesting. They said that it's not fair to put a question about equality and a question about Israel in the same question, because that's going to make people pass something that's against the state of Israel. And strangely enough, the Attorney General of Massachusetts thought that that argument was absurd. And she stated, I'm not going to quote, but I'll paraphrase, she stated, all this citizens group has done is state a general principle about equality and given an example of a state that is not carrying it out, and they want to have a vote on it. And so I think maybe for the first time ever, a Democratic elected official actually told the pro-Jewish side that they were not going to be allowed to play this game. So she basically rejected their argument and put the question on the ballot. So that was a good result for us.
Did she wind up in the river? Ron, is she...
Well, I don't know what has happened to her yet, but I have a feeling that she may get a few phone calls. Let's just put it that way. But, the argument was absurd. You know, they basically... You know, we said that we support the right of equality for all people, regardless of their religion. And we said, and by the way, that includes Palestinians who live in Israel. And they said, that's not fair. I mean, it was absurd. I mean, even a high-ranking member of the Democratic Party, which, as we know, is essentially a pro-Jewish state party, even a person in that position had to say the pro-Jewish state side's argument was absurd. It didn't make any sense. So, in any event, that was a defeat for their side. The next thing was to get the question on the ballot, which we did, and we distributed approximately 30,000 pieces of literature, basically explaining to people what are the specific laws that give more rights to people who are Jewish than those who are non-Jewish. And that's exactly what the ballot question says, by the way. The ballot question says, shall the representative from this district be instructed to vote for a resolution calling on the federal government to support the right of all people, including non-Jewish Palestinian citizens of Israel, to live free from laws that give more rights to people of one religion than another? So it was very explicit. We distributed literature, and in our literature, we gave examples of the laws in Israel that are explicitly discriminatory. For example, the law of return. It says that if I live in Israel and I'm Jewish, all of my relatives can come and stay with me. My grandparents, my sister who's living in the United States, they can all come and live with me. If you're a Palestinian, sorry, can't do that for you. You're not of the right religion. And it says that explicitly in the text. Right? The basic laws of Israel actually state explicitly that Jewish people have this right and non-Jewish people don't. Could you imagine such a law existing in the United States, for example, that said Christians
in the future? In the future, yes, I can, because I see America is a Zionist-controlled country.
Well, that is a scary thought, but hopefully we have enough popular support that that won't happen. So we put the question on the ballot. We distributed the literature. We gave examples of the different laws. Did you know that if you're a Palestinian person inside of Israel and you have so-called citizenship rights, you can't bring your spouse to live with you if your spouse is from the West Bank and Gaza? Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If you are a non-Jewish person and you have a spouse that lives outside of the territory of Israel, say, you know, a Palestinian woman who has a spouse who lives in the West Bank or in Gaza, then they are unable to have that person come and live with them. It's these kind of absurd laws that we told people in Somerville and in Cambridge about. And so then the day of the vote came, and of course you guessed it, the mainstream newspapers all came out and said, well, the mayor opposes this, the local elected city council members, they oppose this, and it's a crazy idea, it's anti-Jewish, you need to vote against it. And you'll notice the way that what they try to do is to try to frame the conflict as those who like Jewish people and those who don't. And that's completely wrong. The way you want to frame it is those who support equal rights and those who don't. And that's the way we framed it in the question. And so now, what would voters in Somerville and voters in Cambridge do? And here's what they did. They voted 62% in our favor, right, despite the opposition of all the elected officials, including the local congressmen, the mayor, local city council people. They voted 62% in our favor, a decisive victory in Somerville.
That's a landslide by anybody's measure.
Yep, it's a clear victory. In Cambridge, the vote was 72%.
Oh, beautiful thing, beautiful thing.
So, I don't think it has ever been done that people in the United States are actually on record as opposing the concept of a religious state that gives special rights to one religion over another. And since the victory on November 4th, the phone has just been off the hook. You know, I can't tell you how many different people from around the United States, you know, have logged into our website, have called us, and they said they want to replicate this activity. All right, they believe that people in their community agree with the people in Somerville and Cambridge that, you know, the operation that that they're doing over there, that the apartheid state, is not acceptable, and they want their neighbors to demonstrate that as well with a vote. So that's the really exciting part, and I want your listeners who have connections with people in the United States or who might be listening in from the United States to give me a call. I'll give my number right up right here. I'm at 617-230-2835. And you can go to our website.
No, I'm going to be able to do that several times through the interview,
great,
including at the end. But I want to say, you know, that there are places throughout the world that could maybe consider putting initiative things, because a lot of countries permit the public to propose initiative legislation for vote. And I know up in, I think in some of the Scandinavian countries you can put initiatives in, and I believe in parts of Britain you can even come up with initiative type of things. So I mean, this is something that possibly could be examined. Now, what you've been able to do here is appeal to people's sense of right and wrong in a very basic way. But
yes,
you know, I have to be honest with you, the crime of Israel, even the founding of that country, to take people from another part of the world who have no connection to that land genetically or historically. They were Khazarians that came there from the steppes of Russia. Their heritage and their ancestors were not from that region. To be shipped in by Western powers in the 1930s and kicking people off their land, and then having their control over the Western governments to force through a vote and force this country into being, and then have them come out and be this way. From the very inception, this place is a problem. This was a wrong-headed move from the very first stroke of a pen when the Balfour document was signed.
Yes, and it would have been a wrong move even if they did not expel the vast majority of the Palestinian population,
right,
to make them refugees.
It would have been wrong no matter what. That's right.
It was a wrong idea, and I'm glad that there are several people of all religions, Jewish, Christians, Muslims, atheists, who realized at the time that this idea was not going to work. And you know, the UN partition, which was proposed at the time in 48 and 49, what it actually proposed to do was to create two states, but each state was supposed to have democracy and equality for all of its citizens. It was not supposed to be a Jewish state. So when they say that the Zionist side accepted the partition, the Palestinians didn't. That's not true. They didn't accept the partition. The partition plan called for equality, equal rights for all people who lived in the area. Now, what, you know, whether or not the people had the right to immigrate there or not, you know, that's, you know, sort of a separate question. The main question is what kind of society would be set up there. And the mistake was to set up a society that discriminated against one group of people. And that was a fundamentally wrong act. And should also say that expelling the existing population, which had been there for a long amount of time, many generations,
more than millennia, Ron.
Yes, more than millennia, as had Jewish people been living in there.
No, Sephardic Jews had been there. The ones that arrived there and did all of the terrorism to get rid of the Palestinians had no connection to that region. And in fact, before you go any further, the people who arrived from Europe were prejudiced and racist against the indigenous Jews.
Yes, that's right. Yes, that's right. And, you know, I mean, the thing is, but, you know, I think we can get off a little bit if we start going into the details about who should be allowed to live there. What we want to focus on is what are the rights of the people who live there? You know, the U.S. is a multi-ethnic, multi-religious society, and it's not perfect, but at least we're not crazy enough to have laws that actually give special rights to people of certain ethnicities or religions. So I think that's what we want to focus on.
Well, it is, because it's the camel's nose under the tent, if you'll allow. In other words, it gets people thinking about what they've been seeing on their television screen as the image of Israel and what Israel is actually.
And it
plants the seed of thought in their mind and say, wait a minute here. Ron, we're similar. You're probably a little younger than me, but I've been watching these people do this stuff on my television screen since I was a little boy. And what they have done is murder and subjugate and obfuscate the truth and destroy people's lives and commit war crimes and terrorism from the very first of my life. And I'm fed up with it at 51. I'm going to go to my grave watching Israel ruin the world.
Well, you know, the thing is, I think what is often the case in history is that people that try to set up systems that oppress other people, you know, eventually they get exposed. And there are popular movements that work against. And, you know, sometimes those movements are successful. Sometimes they're not. But certainly they're going to be exposed. And I think that's what we've done effectively here in the U.S. and in
Now, let's talk a little bit about what you had to do to get you. I mean, you went out into the streets and out on the corners.
We had to put the question on the ballot, which means that you have to get a certain number of signatures. But I want to back up to 2006, because in 2006, our group put a question on the ballot calling for the right of return of all Palestinian refugees. Now, that's an example of a fundamental human right, and it should be available to all the people who are registered as refugees in the world, the vast majority of whom are Palestinians. But there are also other refugees in other parts of the world, and it is taken for granted that these refugees should be allowed to return to their homes. And so in 2006, we put an unthinkable question on the ballot, and we said that, yes, Palestinians, like all refugees, should be given the right to return as a fundamental human right. That's Article 13 in the Declaration of Human Rights. And that ballot question, we were able to get 45%, and again, this is despite the opposition of all of the elected officials who had a poster that had all their faces on it saying, vote against the right of return for Palestinian refugees. I'm talking about the mayor, elected officials, the congressperson who's a liberal Democrat. But yet we were able to get 45%. We didn't quite win, but it showed that at least half the people think that the idea of a state that expels people because of their ethnicity or religion is a wrong idea, and that these people should be allowed to return. And I should also tell your listeners that it is completely feasible that Palestinian refugees can return to their land of origin. Right? If you look at the state of Israel, large sections of it are not heavily populated because it tends to be more of a metropolitan country. Most people live in Haifa, Tel Aviv, Jaffa. They don't live in the territories where the Palestinians mainly came from. And there are people who have worked out full return plans that involve nearly no displacement of the existing population. So it is eminently feasible that Palestinian refugees should be allowed to return. It doesn't require any existing person to be displaced.
Yeah, but Ron, wait a minute. They'd have to share the water they've got, and they don't want to do that. So,
that's a non-starter
because they can't steal the Tani River water, and they can't pipe the Tigris and Euphrates down to Israel like they would.
Right, that's not the fault of the Palestinians. The Palestinians have a fundamental right to return.
That's why it's a non-starter on the ground.
They're not going to allow it. Oh, yeah. They're going to do their best to stop it. But so we did that in 2006, and to our surprise, you know, many people, even though they had for years seen media and listened to politicians who basically were in favor of blocking human rights for Palestinians, despite years of hearing that propaganda, amazingly, almost half the people in Somerville, in my own district, we got 50%. Half the people did support the right of return for Palestinians. So we were surprised to see that result, and I think that's what carried us forward. Right? We had a fundamental belief that the values of ordinary residents in the United States would support equal rights, would support human rights for all people. We believed that. And then 2 years later, here in 2008, I think we were vindicated. Right? We put a question on the ballot. And that question, you know, call for equal rights for Palestinians who are inside of Israel.
And
it won decisively. Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, this is an important question, Ron. You planted the seed in 2006 with your first initiative.
That's correct.
You carried the day in your second.
Yes.
And what I would like to know is there a learning curve happening in the public, in your communities? In other words, there are people who now, for the first time, have taken this question upon themselves to actually make a decision on it, and they've looked into some of the, and now what you've got is actually people coming up to speed on the crimes of this nation called Israel, this criminal group of, I mean, you know, not every Israeli is committing crimes, however, every Israeli is witnessing crimes committed. And the fact of the matter is, now that people in Somerville and Cambridge have come to see the light on some of these issues, do you think there is a groundswell beginning to take place in the communities themselves of learning and understanding just how bad it really is?
I think there is. I mean, I think, you know, evidence would be a woman, you know, from Cambridge who called us up and said, you know, I'm so glad you people put this question on the ballot because I had been thinking the same thing. And she told me, you know, I have friends in Maine and in Connecticut who want to do this. And she asked me to send her the literature that we used to execute the campaign. And I did that, and she's ready to go. So I think, you know, when you see little snippets of people who are willing to actually, you know, break their routine and say, look, I'm going to do something about this. I have a belief in equality and human rights. I'm going to take some action. It's not going to be everyone, but I think, you know, there is a slow groundswelling of people in our communities that realize that the policies put forward by our government and the elites that control our government are not the correct policies. They're inconsistent with the values of ordinary people, and they need to change. And so I do see it happening. And I have to tell you, when we sent the information out over the internet, the response has been very great. In cities, even out on the west coast, I know there's one city that's putting forward a ballot question on the west coast. We've had calls from Washington, even one from the south, from Mississippi. That you know, blew my mind. But you know, it's very exciting that I think people have finally seen an example of where you can put a question on the ballot and you can show that the U.S. public supports basic human rights for Palestinians. We just haven't done that enough in this country. And when we get to the day when there are 100 cities and towns that are passing resolutions that support these ideas, I think we're starting to move in the right direction. And, you know, I think we'll get to a situation that's better for both Jewish people and for non-Jewish people
in
the region.
Now, let me ask you that.
One quick point. One of the important things about our what we say is we believe that it's actually to the disadvantage of the Jewish people living in Israel to continue these policies. We think it actually works against the sort of things, the sort of life that they would like to lead. So we think it's bad all the way around. You know, our position
is
that...
Have you had active support from Jews other than Neutera Carta to put your policies out there? I mean, have there been volunteers coming from
Yes, from all religious groups. We have a Cuban person who works with us. I'm an African American. You know, we have Jewish people. You know, we have European Americans. I mean, it runs the gamut. You see, because it's not based on your religion or your ethnicity. You know, one of our main active people is a Jewish American a person who's anti-Zionist, and, you know, so it's not based on religion. You come to the group and you are able to work because you share the principles of the group, and those principles are you know, equality and lack of discrimination, supporting human rights for Palestinians to return to their land of origin.
That learning part. Now, are you continuing this push to educate our audience?
Absolutely, absolutely. We're not sitting on our laurels. In fact, one of the main things that we are doing now is we are producing a literature piece that first of all, we want to congratulate the people of Somerville and Cambridge that, you know, stood up and said that their leaders were wrong, their elected leaders, and that they, in fact, support the principles of equality. But what we want to do is educate people as to how it is that these same leaders are influenced by elite forces in the country and prevent us from getting health care for all people, for example. We make that explicit connection in our literature. Right? Well, you know, in this country, if you took a vote of ordinary citizens, should we have health care for all people, regardless of their medical state or past condition or whatever, the people in this country would say yes. Healthcare should be there for everybody. So why isn't it? And the reason it's not is because there are corporate interests, various elite interests that benefit from keeping something like that from occurring.